everybody. Welcome. Come one, come all. Welcome to the Star Wars Report episode 41. We're, like I say, last week, as of last week, over the hill. Oh, we got a good show for you tonight. We've got Jason Hutt joining us from our fellow podcast, The Wampa's Lair. But before we introduce all the guests, not yet.
Oh,
hold on to your shirt, boy.
All right, sorry.
No. I'm one of your hosts for this evening, Riley Blanton. So glad that you joined us for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Also joining us, as always, my dear sister, Bethany. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for welcoming me.
Oh, you're most welcome. I'm happy to welcome you anytime and be very welcoming about it as well.
You're welcome.
Anytime.
Or should that have been thank
you? Well, you're welcome.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah. Also joining us is Mr. Mark Herleman.
Hey-o!
Hey! Welcome to the next show.
I'm back! Whistler's here! We're ready to do it!
All right. Glad to do that. That's right. And finally, let's get right into the new segment where we're... No. I'm not going to skip past him. Joining us this week is Mr. Jason Hunt. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. So glad to be here. Very excited.
We appreciate you coming on, giving us some of your time tonight, Jason. We have some fun news to talk about. And we thank you for tuning in tonight. Everybody tuning in live on the station. We're back live. We had to take a break from that last week, out of state and all that fun stuff. But we are back. We've been, tree chopping and... jumping around, exercise. It's been a fun day. Been a crazy day here at
training
the,
to fly X-wings. I see.
Yes, yes, yes. Last weekend we were up in a glider through Civil Air Patrol. As most everybody who tunes into our show knows, that Bethany and I are members of Civil Air Patrol, and part of that is a big focus on aerospace. So we won't bore you with all of the details, but suffice to say, did you know, Mark? Those things, those gliders, have a wingspan of about 30 feet or so. But they only weigh about 780 something pounds was this particular glider. Like when I get in
That's
this thing,
a
it's
big
weight
wingspan.
It's a big wingspan and a tiny cockpit. It's all like fiberglass and aluminum. No engine, of course.
Yeah,
it's just a glider.
Because I saw the picture of the two of you standing there. That cockpit is tiny. Feet? Oh my god. Well, you're talking end to end though, right? Not just one wing is 30 feet.
No, yes. And so what's interesting about it is that being so small, it's towed up by an aircraft. You literally have a tow cable. Like, you hope that thing doesn't break. You trust the person.
You all cover
And you say,
face.
Like, the pilot in the back, the instructor's telling me, you know, just if you're still, if the tow cable breaks and we're less than 200 feet, we're all dead anyway. But once we get to that over 200 feet, you need to know that we're going to bank off left and go straight for the runway
if the tow cable breaks.
If the tow cable. Well, right.
And if we get to 400 feet, we will be heading for that field over there if the cable breaks. And if we hit 500 feet, then we can actually circle back around and land on our respective runway.
But we got some flights, and that's
Come
one
on
thing.
500!
Yeah, it's one thing that, you know, watching Star Wars and, what was that? The, I completely
Red
blanked.
Tails? Something else?
Well, Red Tails is a good example, too. So we'll go with Red Tails since I can't think of the other example. it's just I really enjoy flying, and I've not been able to do a ton of it. So that weekend was a great foray into furthering experience there. So, wow, that was a crazy weekend. So, yeah, when I get in that thing, like I say, its weight increases by about 20%. I'm a large fellow, and that's not a... That's not a large aircraft, but it was fun. It looks more dangerous on the outside than the inside. You have this false sense of utopian security.
Like, are you trying to tell me you were wedged in there like Lobaka in an XJ?
Yes, something like that.
Now, on the other hand, they have to put this little extra seat in there because I don't weigh enough.
You get the booster. Nice.
Yeah, well see, the thing is, if you don't put ballast in the plane, which basically is a booster seat with weights in it, if you don't put ballast,
it's a glorified yes.
If you don't put ballast in the front of the plane, because I'm light enough, if we stalled, which is we got around the aerodynamics of the aircraft and weren't flying it correctly,
yeah,
and stalled, then the plane would tip backwards and we would crash to the ground and die on the plane's tail.
Yeah.
I'm confused. How does a glider stall? I thought it didn't have an engine.
Yeah, that's a good question, Mark, and I'm glad you asked, sir. Now aerospace nerd Riley comes out. No, seriously. It's really cool because you actually, you know, as you know, with a glider, if you catch an updraft coming off of a hill, hot air going,
like
you can actually, a thermal, you will actually ascend. You can get up to 2,000-3,000 feet in a glider easily. I did I gained a couple hundred feet. I wasn't very good. Like I say, it was first time up. But you can use that to where you can actually get enough down speed to where you start going up and then you tip the nose down using the ailerons on the side.
Which is like part of the wings.
Boys and girls. And and then you get enough speed going down to where you can suddenly reverse the ailerons to where the airflow makes the nose tip up quickly and you literally shoot into the air upwards.
Because the updraft is pushing you up.
And then you can soar upwards and then literally tip back as it begins to slide backwards and down, and you lose all sense of security as you become weightless for about 10, 15 seconds. It's like a roller coaster. And then you soar down at about 40, then 50, then 60 miles an hour,
but
and then you level out.
That tipping up point, when you go kind of weightless,
yes,
if you have too much weight in the back of the glider,
yep,
or too little, like me, in the front, then the glider will tip backwards, and that's what's called a stall, because you've stalled the threshold of the air versus the aircraft. So you stall backwards, and you land on your tail
and
die.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Fun time. So we have, man, that's spending Easter weekend getting closer to God. You know, that's get it?
Yes.
Get it? Yes. All right. Let's get in.
All the people listening are rolling their eyes.
All right. Let's get into some Star Wars news. We got a lot of news to talk about this week. Let's go.
So me.
Boo! I hate you, nerd. Like I say, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of news for you this week.
Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
All right.
We have something
Jump closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
You can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
I better pull up the show notes.
I swear I'm cursed. It's just a...
This just in from Bothan 5875554.
Star Wars Identities has an official website, if you care to go there and order tickets to go see the exhibit. They will have future events coming up. Right now, I believe they only have two events scheduled in Canada. So, you Canadians listening to the show.
Oh, lucky Canucks is all I gotta say. I wish I was up there right now.
Where was it again, Bethany?
Two events in Canada. Oh, goodness. You two completely set me up.
New Darth Maul comic has been announced. It's been announced that Tom Taylor will be releasing a new comic published by Dark Horse this summer. The comic will be titled Darth Maul, Death Sentence, and will feature Savage Opress as well as his brother, Darth Maul. You can view the cover after the break. And by after the break, that means eucantina.net. You can head there and find the pictures, all the fun stuff happening right there.
Darth Maul.
Really quick on that. Tom's getting to kill off a lot of characters, at least have really cool death-sounding names. I mean, we've got Boba Fett is dead, and now Death Sentence.
Boba Fett.
Dun, dun, dun.
Boba Fett.
Darth Maul. Also, Lucasfilm drops the plans for their digital facility in Marin County, California. This is interesting because they in the official press release, Lucasfilm said, we love working and living in Marin, but the residents of Lucas Valley have fought this project for 25 years, and enough is enough.
Wow.
We have several opportunities to build the production stages in communities that see us as a creative asset and not as an evil empire.
So basically, the people of Marin County were saying... That's what they're trying to say, right?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, hold on, though. You're living in Lucas Valley. Lucas Valley here. I mean, the valley's named after the man. Give him a studio. No, I take it back. George, put it over here in Oregon. We could take something like that and use it and do something good with it.
There's a lot of labor over in Oregon, isn't there? I've heard. That's what I've heard.
A lot of people sitting around waiting to go to work.
DK has donated 95,000 in children's books on behalf of the 501st and Rebel Legion. That's from theforce.net. Wow. Those guys...
Awesome.
Proving once again that those guys are indeed awesome, both the 501st, Rebel Legion, and DK. And that wraps up the Super Happy Fun Time Rapid Fire News segment. That's what I'm calling it anyway. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get into some of the more heavy stuff. We need more segments. What was it? There's a hilarious clip on The Daily Show that I saw that somebody had tweeted where it was how CNN has been losing viewers of late. Actually, all the cable networks are. And so they're going, depending really, really heavily on really cheesy and stupid segment music, you know? So they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff like...
We have something to report.
And I was like, well, we've been doing that forever. So, but yeah, so let's get into this. This was something I've been wanting to talk about since it began Inception. And the beginnings of a plan are begin to formulate. This is some Celebration 6 news. Celebrate good times. We need music for that, too. I feel like we need music for every story, basically.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say. Celebration 6, we've got a Star Wars Report update for what we're doing there. We've got three people of the four on the round table here going there this summer. So, exciting times. Bethany and I, we just wrapped up the hotel arrangements. Finally wrapped up after much confusion, figuring out the press passes system. And by the way, boo Reed. Very poorly handled.
Indeed. Every other part of Celebration last time was such a great experience. I feel like Reed really has a handle on how to run a convention.
Whoever handles the press end of Reed is definitely sticking out in a bad way.
They're using an automated system, so whatever system they chose, I feel like isn't
string that computer up. Now.
Something along those lines.
So yeah, we're booked. We're ready to go. We are indeed press. We'll be trying to do as much coverage of the event. But you know, Bethany and I will be there, but we'll be doing underground coverage. It's kind of like I like to think about it. We're not going to do any fancy schmancy live shows. We're not on any panels that I know of. Hey, we're free if you want us. but we will be on the ground hitting up as many interviews with fans, etc. I really want to hit the atmosphere of some of the lines. That was really some of the most fun, is just having conversations with random strangers in the line for the different events, especially that main event. Jason, were you at Celebration 5?
I was not. Oh. Fan Days last year was my very first convention, and it was a little overwhelming at first, but I started to get the hang of it like two hours before I left. So, you know, C6, I mean, I should be there. I should be there. So hopefully I won't just like keel over in shock at the enormity of it all. But well, I'm hoping to have
actually,
a great
Jason,
time.
Actually, Jason, Bethany and I, we poke fun at you because of how big it is. But, you know, people who go to Comic-Con poke fun at Celebration. So, you know, we have known what it's like to be at actual Comic-Con, I should say.
And Diego's Comic-Con, that Comic-Con.
The Comic-Con.
And Dragon-Con is actually, in ways, quite a bit crazier than Celebration, just because of the layout of the hotels and everybody gathered together.
Sure.
I see Nancy and Brian in the chat there.
Ooh.
They would know a bit about that.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Who are you talking about? I don't know. So yeah, Celebration 6 coming up. Like I say, we're confirmed. We've got our hotel rooms confirmed. We're hoping to do a meetup of some kind. But I can tell you one place we will be. And that is something that our good friend Steve Glosson's been working on over at Geek Out Loud. He's on the week before last episode. And we had a grand time. Steve's just a straight-up cool guy. And he's working with a couple other people. I don't have all the details, so this is really just a kind of a vague hint. But what we're working on, and I say we, I'm just kind of telling people about it.
Yeah, you better not go into spoiler territory. They might have to hunt you down.
I know. But what I can say so far is that we're working on a worship service Sunday morning over at Celebration 6. It's going to be at one of the neighboring hotels, I believe the Rosin Center. That's subject to change, but a worship service that Steve's going to be speaking at Sunday morning. That'll be before the convention starts, and kind of offer a place for people of faith like myself to go that morning. So I'm really excited that they're taking up. This is not the kind of thing that Lucasfilm or Reed would approve. You know, understandably in some way, I'm not exactly surprised, but you know, it's not the kind of thing that would be part of the convention, but for those who are interested in that sort of thing, it's something we're working on. And hey, if you're interested in attending that kind of thing, shoot us an email, starwarsreport@gmail.com. We'd love to get some people there who would be interested. Also, I would say that there's not that, small a possibility of having more than one or two more Star Wars celebrities there. That might be cool. That's all I'll say. Hint, hint. So, stay tuned to the Star Wars Report. We'll be talking about it as we do kind of our after shows, which I don't know if we have one here or not. We probably won't because we started late. Mm. We might have an off-air after show. There you go. Worship Service Celebration 6 coming up this August, Orlando, Florida. And then 1 week after, Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Wow. I was looking.
We have all of our summer activities before that as well.
Yeah, I was going to say. I can name right now 8 large events that I'm doing this, that I'm doing or have done this year. This is like the biggest year for Riley that he's ever had. It's kind of cool.
As far as continuous going out of town anyway.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice how when you type in LOL and you use lowercase L's, which just look like straight lines,
yes,
it looks like a TIE fighter.
Yes.
I at one point, a friend of mine on Facebook sent me a bunch of different hyphens and stuff. Mm-hmm. He gave me a TIE bomber, the TIE advance, and the Millennium Falcon. And man, like an idiot, I deleted the post. I've been like, dude, where was it? And he's like, I don't know where I found it. It was so cool, though.
Yeah. I think it was Ray, formerly Darkseid's son. What is his new Lord Mortis? What is his new Twitter handle?
Yeah, Lord Mortis 315, I think.
Mm. Okay, anyway. But he pointed that out on Twitter, and I was like, it does.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'll take a minute here to just say you are tuned into the Star Wars Report, episode 41, live on Middle Earth Network Radio. We thank everybody who is tuning out. Be sure to let people know. For those of you listening live, let your friends know. Tell everybody about this location. Like I've said before, I do want to drum up the live show portion of it. I really would like to do a segment where we can take live calls at some point.
That would be so much fun.
Because no one really does that in the Star Wars community that I'm aware of, anyway. So
if they
do,
let us know. We should call in and crash their show sometime.
Yes. So for those of you listening to the podcast version, we thank you too. And be sure to come every Thursday night, 8 o'clock. Fun times. April Fool's is always a...
It's the day that you ask yourself, should I really be on the internet today?
Exactly.
I tweeted that morning, happy annual stay off the internet day. So what's
where everything that you see online you take for granted. You're like, wait, is this really what's happening or not?
Take with a scoop of salt, exactly.
Exactly.
Now,
a giant scoop, a shovel of salt.
Yes, yes. Now, Mark and I read this April Fool's joke from Suvodoo.com. However
Suvodoo.
You pronounce it.
Suvoo.
We're going to have to see how Suvodoo. To pronounce that name, because they put out a number of interesting things these days. Voo. Anyway, they put out... They claim to have the exclusive prints to the post-Fate of the Jedi and an exclusive epilogue written by Timothy Zahn. And this epilogue...
Part of that's true. The best lies are sown in partial truth.
Yes. It was titled An Apology. There's been too much blood, too much death, too much destruction. The time has come to take the record straight. And from there on out, it goes on to tell us that back when Mara Jade killed Luke with 2 U's, Skywalker the clone, that it was actually the real Luke that she killed. And it was Luke the clone who survived all this time. And that's why things have been going so wrongly in the world of Star Wars these days. Anyway,
I love how Thrawn's obsession with cloning everybody became the forefront of the story.
I know, yes. Yep. And, and what's funny to me is that Fate of the Jedi does have the imposter storyline with the crazy Jedi who think that people have been replaced. And that's one reason why.
Well, and fans have been saying for a long time Jason was replaced sometime after Return of the New Jedi Order. They started calling him Jason in a name only.
Yeah, that's right. That's that whole segment of the fandom. Wow.
Hey, Nancy tells us that there are also fanfics out there that take the supposition that Mara killed Luke rather than Luke. Those would be interesting to read. Like a whole new alternate universe. And we all know how Mark enjoys the alternate universe stories.
This is true. This is true.
Well, hey, Nancy, you'll have to send us some fanfic ideas. Maybe we can do an audio drama, something like that. Never know. Never know. A collaboration
you'll
between
have to take the next story live. .com shut down on me.
Okay, all right, Dan, I got it. Well, actually, I've got. Was anyone here on the round table fooled on anything?
No, because I pretty much just didn't believe anything that day.
Jason?
No, I was not fooled. However, I did wish that the TIE swatter was real.
You, Mark? Anybody?
Yeah, the TIE swatter. I thought the TIE swatter was a funny thing, but that story when I first saw it, I was just kind of like, I hadn't got into the whole Luke story, and at first I'm just like, man, I feel like they're kind of throwing sand in people's eyes again. And then I got into the story and I was like, okay, this is funny. This is great.
But you weren't taken in, yeah. All right, so I'm the only one. This is the first year of only 4 or 5 years, really, of being on the internet at all on April Fool's. I mean, it's not that long. I'm a late bloomer. I don't remember the .com days. I don't remember the MySpace days. I'm not exactly somebody who's been internet savvy a long time. But this is the first year I was fooled. I was taken in. And I haven't told anybody this. Bethany's looking at me in sorrow. She's like, you poor boy. it's the guys over at Star Wars Underworld. I'd recently followed them on Twitter, and it was about 10 o'clock at night on April Fool's, and all the jokes have already gone around, and then there was some legitimate news here and there. And I had completely forgotten. I'd gone outside, came back from a run, and I was like, I'm fine. And then I quickly I saw a tweet from them saying, the trailer's live. Oh, it's down. Oh, the trailer's live. Clone Wars Season 5 trailer's live. Oh, no. All right. But here's the podcast about it. We had a chance. We sat down and recorded a recap. So it was a 15, 20-minute podcast that the Star Wars Underworld guys did. They had me smoke, line, and sinker for about 10 minutes. I kid you not. Like the Mandalorians, like the whole army was attacking the clone army, and there's a big war erupting. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is so awesome. And I was like, oh, and then I got like 10 minutes in, and I was like, oh no.
Wait a minute.
But I finished the whole thing, and I was actually still wondering, because it was late at night when I found it. And I was wondering, and then at the end they didn't say anything. I thought they were gonna say, "Haha, April Fools," you know. But that didn't happen at the end. So I was like, "Well, is it?" And of course, the next day, I was sent a tweet saying, "We got you." And so it made me think. I felt genuinely like violated. I like my trust. I was mad at the internet. I mean, for no reason. I mean, the guys sort of. But I have never.
I have just been violated.
I know. I'm like, rah. I was not happy. I was surprised by how upset I was. Actually.
Well, when you start teasing something like the new Clone Wars season trailer, I mean, come on, that's awesome stuff. But
yeah.
Not on April Fool's.
Yeah.
Okay, this computer has completely frozen up, so... Oh,
you'll have to restart it. Yeah.
Yep.
That's funny, though, because right when that happened, Jason and your guys' end of the call quality got a lot better.
No, it's been frozen for about 5 minutes. I was just hoping it would come out of it. And it's not.
The computer chant.
I'm going to have to completely...
Oh, well. We talked about it last week some, when it was just Bethany and I. And here's kind of a follow-up of a Kotaku article that we... referenced in that episode, and here's a quote from it. I'll just read it. This guy says, "Perhaps modern Star Wars haters would have liked George Lucas to have left it all alone. Don't tinker with the old movies. Don't make new ones. Let it all stand still. Turn them into museum pieces. A carbonite frozen Star Wars would have kept us from. But a carbonite frozen Star Wars would have kept us from the great role playing games Knights of the Old Republic. It would have blocked us from Lego Star Wars. It would have robbed us of the Revenge of the Sith movie that improves the emotional impact of A New Hope." Some people would disagree with him. I agree.
I would disagree myself.
Yeah.
I'm one when he got to the petrified Star Wars would have disallowed the great ongoing Clone Wars computer graphic cartoons as well as the lovely hand-drawn one that preceded it. We'd have been robbed of many dozens of excellent John Ostrander written Star Wars comics from Dark Horse. And I'm like, no, we wouldn't have. We were getting those things before Lucas was tinkering.
This,
I mean,
that's true. That's true. It's not.
I mean, I granted, I read the whole article. I see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, there's more going on. Every time I see one of these articles, it's somebody always like overclassifies people, and it's like, and I have a hard time with it. I mean, I get where the guy was going. You know, at the end of the day, to me, it came more like the Kinect game with the dancing Han, and he was aiming at those people.
He was aiming at us.
I think there's some legitimate complaints. Even he said Lucas brought it on himself. I mean, you know, there is a legitimate amount of anger there of those that felt, you know, I'm not one of them. My childhood wasn't ruined. But I do know people, my parents especially, that the movies that they went and saw in theater are not what's been presented to them. And they're just like, this ain't what I saw. And,
yeah,
you know, no matter what, at the end of the day, that happened to a large generation of people. And, you know, call them haters all you want, but they're still fans, too. They're just the fans of something that came before. And, yes, George tinkers, and he does like to tinker and tinker and tinker. And it's all fine and good to sit back and call someone else the hater. But when it's something you love that George tinkers with, you're going to be ticked off, too.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And
I think what I saw, I read this article after Riley pointed me to it, and I liked what he had to say there in that. But I agree with you, Mark, in that the guy who wrote the article somewhat oversimplifies. Does anybody know the secret history of Star Wars?
Secret.
It's like this huge book thing.
No, there's a book by that title. Yes, I know.
Yes.
I was like, I think Nathan told me about it once in a post chat.
Well, it's this massive book that talks about how Star Wars came about, the different incarnations, back when George was thinking to make it 12 movies. And,
you know,
back when there, and then after that with a 7, 8, 9, back before there was a Skywalker storyline, because Star Wars was never just all about the Skywalker family or Anakin Skywalker. It didn't start out that way. Yeah, it ended up that way. But Star Wars has gone through many, many different incarnations, and no one is going to like all of it. If you like every single aspect of Star Wars that you've ever been exposed to, and you've watched movies, you've read books, you've read comics, you've seen the Clone Wars, back before there was the before it, and you've played a bunch of video games, if you've done all of that and you tell me you like every single aspect of you, I'm not entirely sure I'll 100% believe you. Because they're so diverse, and they're built for so many different audiences, and not to mention the collecting. And there's so many different kinds of just the collecting costuming. So I guess my point is, Star Wars before even just the original trilogy was different. Back in the old concept days, it was different. So it seems like people who have grown up with certain things get attached to those certain things.
Sure.
What I would take as a lesson from this is, if you grew up with the original trilogy and you don't really like the prequels or other stuff, that's fine. But give allowance for people to like what they like, and hopefully they'll give allowance for you to just like the prequels. And if you grow up with just the prequels and you think the original trilogy is old and outdated, then you give people room to like the prequels, and you can have fun watching. Give people room to like the original trilogy, and you can like the prequels, and all the same with the comics and the video games and the books and the costuming and the collecting. And
sure. Well, I mean, I feel like this is a very recurring topic here on the show, and really, it's interesting because the fan community, always there's something about it, and this Han Solo video really just went to the mainstream. So I want to get Jason's opinion in on this, and I want to ask Mark a couple questions, because there always seems to be a sense of people who go back and forth and label each other, and then the other people take offense.
Ah, you're a hater. Ah, you're a hater too. You're a worse hater than I am.
Yeah. So one might say, hater. Yeah, one might say that there's a fire burning within. In the Star Wars fandom. We'll be right back after the music. Adele could be the theme of the Star Wars fan community. I don't know, maybe. But yeah, it's a recurring thing that we do, that we talk about here at the Star Wars Report. Jason, I'd like to bring you into this, because what's your exposure to this? Do you identify with one segment of the fandom? What did you think of this whole this Han-troversy? Can I call it that? Han-troversy? It's a Han-troversy.
The Han-troversy, yes. Yeah. I saw the video once. I thought it was funny. I was like, oh, that's nice. They decided to throw, you know, dancing into the Star Wars Connect. And I had just seen, you know, some friends play it, you know, the night before or whatever. And I thought it was funny. I thought it was amusing. As far as the haters are concerned, I'm a very easygoing guy, and I roll with the punches most of the time. So almost nothing has fazed me as far as George Lucas's changes from the with the DVDs and stuff. I was introduced to the special editions, so I never saw the originals beforehand, so I can't talk about, you know, that type of those changes. But all his tinkering, it doesn't bother me. I roll with the punches. It's what? So I find it really ridiculous when people start, you know, it's ruining my childhood, blah, blah, blah. If your childhood is defined by a movie, you need a new childhood.
yeah, go do it down to
the... I think they've taken that line and ran with it. I think when people first said it, they were talking about a memory here or there. I mean, when we were on Star Wars Beyond the Films, we had Barrett on, and he was talking about growing up as an African-American and his perceptions of the films based on how he was raised. And, you know, I think that, you know, for some people, when they look back on certain scenes, the way they saw it, and they're like, well, that's not there anymore. And then they're told, well, it was never there, and this is how it's supposed to be. And I think that statement has been blown up is what I think is going on. I mean, you might have a few people that really run with it, but I think overall you have a few people that took that and were like, oh, look at these guys over here, like, flipping out about their childhood. It's all coming apart. And then you had those that, you know, use the R word on it. And it's like, that really threw gasoline on the fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's overused, and it's very predictable. It always happens. And it's interesting because, Mark, here's what I see what happens. Something like this goes mainstream, like the Han Solo dancing. I'm actually genuinely hesitant as to which way to pronounce it. Anyway.
Han.
Yes, Jason's with me. Han.
Drat.
Hand it to Solo.
All right.
He can do it.
But it's here's what I see happening, Mark, is that this happens in the mainstream. Goes mainstream, at which point there's all these people start hating on something like the Kinect game and calling and directly blaming George Lucas, who had nothing to do with the Kinect game, by the way, and get really, 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 really ticked off about it. And there's this huge internet blow up. So then there's a blowback from all of the defenders of the prequel era, and they feel like it's yet another one. It's like people get tired of it. So yet another time when people again are mad at the prequel. So the latest... like George Lucas, God forbid it will pass away one day, and there will be tons of people writing horrible, nasty things, and people will feel the need to defend him, and that's going to be horrible. But on a smaller,
it's going to be sad to happen. But yeah, I'm right there with you. It seems inevitable.
Yeah, but on a smaller scale, that seems to happen. You know, a new thing each week. So. I see that happening. And so then here, Mark, is what I see happening is that all the blowback people start just blaming all the EU fans and stuff for anything that they don't like because they're their movies. So you have different segments of the community that then overreact, and that prompts that. And it seems like there's this system in place that where insert Blu-ray change or insert the Kinect game or insert, you know, insert something like that. And then a very predictable pattern of events happens. And it's really it at some point just becomes kind of humorous where you can say, well, if IO9 and you know, some other sites pick it up, then boom, this sequence of events will happen.
Yeah,
you feeling me, Mark? Yeah, does that make sense?
That is true, because yeah, it does seem like once IO9 puts it out there, it's like, oh, what's this? Star Wars, and everybody checks it out, and then they're like, oh, whoa, wait, did you see this article on IO9 yesterday? Oh my gosh, the world's coming to an end! And you go on the forums, and people are going at it. As I say, I love going back and seeing, you know, events years later. You know, like when the Karen travesty happened when she left Star Wars, you know, the shock and awe of all of that. You go back and you look at the forums during that month, and you're just like, whoa, these guys are mad. Wait, oh my gosh, that's me.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. I guess to me, the universe is so large now, in and out of universe. In universe, the universe itself is large. In our Earth world here, it's really large. You can't, unless you have a lot of time and you really love Star Wars, you can't really get through all of the books. And then try adding all of the other medium forms that you can get Star Wars in. Try adding all of that on top of it. And unless you do Star Wars for a living, it's really difficult to actually consume all of that.
Yeah.
So,
and then you got the side of it, you know, where people's anger comes from what they know. I mean, you know, some people, if they'd never read a Karen Travis book, they didn't care that she left. They didn't care that the Clone Wars interfered with her novels. You know, and for me, it's like, I don't have Kinect. I don't have the Xbox 360. And even if I did, what does Han and Lando dancing in a video game ruin in Star Wars continuity?
Yeah,
it didn't happen.
Yeah,
that's where I just banged my head on the desk. I'm like, I could get if like they were trying to say this was an adventure in the game, and oh, Han's gonna go over here with Lando, and they're gonna play Sabic. But we open the door and see that they're really playing Xbox 360. Dance off. I mean, I don't know. I just to me, it's like it's no different than Lego Star Wars. I don't get why people are so upset.
And in Lego it's not a
canon video game.
Yeah,
in Lego Star Wars, you have so many different mix-ups and mashups of the characters, including weird dance scenes, including the fact that two good guys can attack each other and blow each other into little Lego blocks.
You know what else is canon and does have dancing? Knights of the Old Republic. I didn't hear outrage about it.
Yeah.
Although, granted, I wasn't on the internet at the time. But you get what I'm saying. It's kind of, to me, remarkable that the dark side of the fan community... seems to come out sometimes in this pattern of events. All right,
Star Wars fans are really passionate, and I think that's what we can take away from this.
That's one word for it, I guess.
Oh, come on.
Definitely one word.
That's one word for it.
You all know where the word fan comes from. Phonetics.
Yes. All right, a great piece of investigative journalism from Pete Morrison over at Lightsaber Rattling. What is Clone Wars writer Brent Friedman doing skulking around Lucasfilm? Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen Brent Friedman's tweets recently, and he's talking about all
Twitter
these
thing?
Exciting different things that he's doing and seeing Lucasfilm in meetings with different Lucasfilm reps.
Let me read some tweets from Mr. Friedman. Just flew into San Francisco on a classified business. I'll tell you my secret assignment, but then I'd have to kill you. All right.
Dun-dun-dun.
Here we go. From at Bonnie Girl.
Which is Bonnie Burton.
Bonnie Burton.
Those of you who don't
nice
know.
At Brent Friedman. Nice seeing you in person today. You're much taller than your Twitter. No. All right, here we go. Somebody said to him, I'm beginning to see a pattern here. You're such a tease. He said, thanks. Guilty as charged. Soon enough, though, this secret mission will come to light. So, yeah.
And there will be much rejoicing. Yeah,
and there will be much rejoicing. So, basically, he's a very experienced fellow. He's co-founder at Rains Park Labs. He's a creative consultant, staff writer for the Clone Wars. You know, he's done a ton of stuff. So, you know, who knows? It's probably not Clone Wars, but it might be something else.
Yeah, but given all of the game rumors that have come out, considering that in the past he was creative consultant for... Mass Hysteria, Electric Farm, Zynga, I don't know how to pronounce the next name, Sony Computer Entertainment,
I don't know how
America,
to pronounce the next
LLC.
Name. It's a really good game studio, too. They put out some great titles.
Electronic Arts.
Among I Don't Know What My Name Is. I Really Don't Know What My Name Is. What's My Name? And, and I'm confused about the title of my name.
But basically,
it's
more of that.
The Awakening.
It's yet again interesting to see normal people on the internet following through with good investigative journalism and seeing, what could be coming next? So what do you guys think will be coming next in the Star Wars universe?
Oh, wow.
Goats.
what couldn't be coming next? I don't know. There's so many things that could go with, but I'm just excited to find out what it is. I don't know. I just want to know.
It's probably video game, although...
I'm with Jason. That's like being thrown in the ocean all of a sudden off of, like, being teleported. I don't know. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't swim! There's so much, you know? I mean, we were just talking about this the other day with Fate of the Jedi wrapping up. It's like, you know, could this be an end of stories for a while set that end of the timeline? I mean, we're watching Tor expand. I was just commenting in our last episode about how it'd be nice to see a bigger book series set maybe in the Tor era. I mean, you know, they mined the living hex out of the New Jedi Order and Beyond era with big, large series and have determined that it was a failure. Why not do it in other areas? I mean, you know, we know that there are plenty of other eras out there that have plenty of room for a big series. You know, Tor especially is a perfect example. I mean, we've got, three books right now? And they're not even that connected? I mean... I don't know. There's so many options out there that, I mean, I'm right there with Jason. It's hard to wrap your mind around it because there's just so many directions they could go in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with Jason. I have no idea. Yeah.
Just tell us what it is already.
No, he's not going to do all that. Although he gave away enough by just letting that slip. This is not super, super secretive. But you never know what's going on in the bowels of Lucasfilm. I know one thing. It's certainly not building a new facility over in Marin County because of the jerk neighbors. We all exactly. have them. We all deal with them at one time or another.
Go underground, George. Build a bunker. They can't stop you if you take it underground.
I'm curious. The last disciple in the chat says that he would like to see Kyle Katarn fleshed out more, like in future novel series or standalone novels.
Amen.
Are there characters that you guys would like to see more of, whether it's in the Clone Wars, the novels, video games? What characters would you guys enjoy seeing?
I would like more throwback stories. Give me some Ganner Rysode, some Anakin and Jason Solo, you know? Give me some characters that have died. Oh, wait, we're getting Mara Jade, but of course, you know, she's Mara, so everybody likes her. But what about the other unsung heroes of the EU? I want to see some of their adventures play out. Where's Skitter? I mean, come on, for a moment there, I thought he was a decent guy. I'd like to know a little more.
There's some characters out there I could see. Maybe some.
I wouldn't mind seeing something about Dooku in his early years, you know.
Now that would be interesting.
I'm just a big fan of Dooku anyway, so, you know, might be a little bit biased there.
Did you ever read Secrets of the Jedi? And I believe it was Legacy of the Jedi?
Ooh, sounds vaguely familiar. I don't know if I actually read it, though.
Yeah, that's
I've been away from the novels
book.
For a while.
Yeah, that's the only one where they give us any little bit of Dooku as a young kid. In it, he's him and I can't remember the other character. They start out as Padawans, and you know he finds out that the temple has some Sith holocrons. And as the story progresses, I believe he gets a little older a couple times throughout the book, and he finally ends up getting to the point where he gets to him.
Was that one of the young readers?
They were as young readers, and then it came out as a duology where the two books were together. That's the one I have. I had one of the two before that, but then once I got the duology, I sold the other one. I was just like, oh, I got this. I don't need to do it.
I think I may have read the Young Readers a while back, but yeah, I would like
that's
to see
the only
Dooku
one I know of.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever. If I have read the Young Readers, it was just picking them up briefly for a good while ago. I'm not really sure though.
Hey, I'm with Denning though. I mean, if Denning could work it out and get to do Yoda, like, earning his knighting or, you know, at some time in that area, him in his prime or the heyday or whatever, I think that'd be cool. People have said they don't want any more about Yoda, but I'm right there. I think one tale, they don't even have to give us more than that, just one, I think would be awesome.
I agree.
Yoda's a favorite character of mine. So, Jason, we had a few questions for you.
Oh.
Yes. I was going to give you some awesome transition music, but Pandora failed me. It played the song all the way through because we got all excited about the conversation.
Basically, you know that song where Jabba, he's in the throne room, and the little Twi'lek chick comes over to the grate? Right about that song, you know, because you're kind of standing on the grate and we're about to click a button.
Ah, there you go. So let's talk to Jason. Before we wrap up the show, let's talk to Jason. Jason, what was the way that you were introduced to Star Wars? There you go. There's your intro music. There you go.
There we are. All right. Well, I was introduced to Star Wars back in 1997. My parents took me to go see the special editions. It was the third or fourth movie I'd ever seen in the movie theater. I'd seen Lion King, Toy Story, and I think Muppet Treasure Island. And then it was Star Wars. Yes, thank you, Riley.
That set the mood appropriately.
just don't bring up Disney.
Hakuna Matata.
What a wonderful phrase.
Don't talk about Disney anymore.
Oh, dear. Star Wars. Back on Star Wars. but my mom looked over while I was watching Star Wars, and something like went off in my head, and she knew something amazing had just happened. So ever since then, I've been a Star Wars nut, and I've just got my hands on everything Star Wars, and I loved the prequels, and I love the Clone Wars.
Good man.
I like it all. It's all such an amazing story. So, and now I'm hosting a podcast, which is like incredible.
StarWarsReport.com. Click on the Wampus Lair link.
Yes.
Yeah. For those of you who tuned into the Star Wars Report and not the Wampus Lair, and I know you're out there. You know who you are. You need to do it. You guys do a great show each week. And you guys do an awesome job. But let me ask you, what was your first foray into the online community?
The online community was it was a little hesitant at first, and I didn't get into it until the Clone Wars started coming out. I was like on iTunes buying the season pass right before season one came out, and I saw you may like, you know, this, and it was like a podcast link to Frontlines, the Clone Wars podcast, and then Republic Forces Radio Network. So I subscribed to those, and then I started getting involved on those forums, and it just sort of exploded from there. I know you guys. I know the guys from the Sarlacc Pit. I was able to go to my first convention last year at Fan Days because it was close enough to me, and it was awesome. I got to hang out with you guys. I met Carl there. And got back, you know, less than a week later, he and I were already talking about starting a podcast. So it's funny how things work. And I guess I'm one of the rare people who met somebody in person before they started a podcast with them.
Ah, yeah. That's true.
You are a rare breed indeed.
We still haven't met Mark, although you never know. You never
know.
They
keep me hidden in the closet, like a little bad child locked away. No, you. No. No chocolate. Go back to the hole.
Come back Thursday.
Yes. You're allowed out each Thursday. What is a favorite moment from the Star Wars saga, from the movies for you?
Oh, goodness.
It doesn't have to be your favorite, just a favorite. What jumps to mind?
You felt the trap door drop just then, didn't you?
I did. There's so many.
You know what's coming next.
Well, there's so many, but I think a specific moment would probably be the Geonosis Arena battle, one of my favorite moments. I love Jedi, so just having hundreds of Jedi fighting it out against battle droids was just simply amazing, you know, nerding out over here in the theater. And then just the whole final hour of Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yes.
Is just amazing from all the way through. So those are probably my two of my big favorite moments.
Okay. Wait, hold up. All right. I'm going to challenge you here.
Uh-oh.
Because it can't be a 20-minute or an hour moment. Those don't count. Well, they're both very good. Very good.
My favorite moment is
the
episode
movie.
Episode 1 and 2 and 3, 4, 5, 6.
That one.
My favorite moment is when I sit down and I watch the movie.
moment.
Pretty much. No. you want a more specific moment? Okay. Goodness.
Like if it's a do or do not, there is no try. And you're like, oh, that's the moment.
At an end, your
that's
rule
what I
is.
Know.
That's a great one.
I guess one of my favorite moments is probably, you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
Ooh. Nice.
That was a good part. Now, which would you say of all the saga is your most rewatched film?
Oh, probably Return of the Jedi, simply because of that last hour.
That's a good question. Mark, what's it for you? I'm all curious now. What's your most rewatched film?
It's tough only because for so long I only had the original trilogy to watch.
Gotcha.
But hands down, it's the third film of both trilogies. It was Return of the Jedi all the way up until Revenge of the Sith, and I finally got to a point where I think I've probably surpassed it. I've watched that one so much. I had a point there when I was doing Graveyards at Kodak where I would come home every morning and I'd play Revenge of the Sith and fall asleep watching it. It was like religious. I did it for like 4 months.
Because Revenge of the Sith for me is kind of that one that I've seen the least of all of them, and I'm the most – because it's by far – the most emotionally impactful Star Wars film that I've ever seen, and really holds a special place in my heart because I still distinctly remember so thoroughly the first time I watched it and how much it moved me. It's kind of sacred in a way, so I've actually seen it the least because I don't want to get used to it, I guess.
Oh, Riley, let me tell you, buddy, I still tear up, man.
Yeah.
I teared up the first time. I teared up on the 1,001st time.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's a powerful thing. I mean, even if you're not like me and reading all the books and having that added detail to make you more sad and emotional, I mean, it gets you. I mean, the music sure, sets yeah. you up. You're just like, uh-oh. Oh, no. There's that music. And then you the watch music. The lights. Master Skywalker, there's too many. What are we going to do? Run, dude, run! He's the bad guy!
Aw, yes,
and
yes.
You're watching all the Jedi go down, the council members. You're like, no, come on, feel it in the Force, man. Feel it in the Force. Guy, get away. Run, guy, run.
Wow. It is it's such a sad film. And I guess I'll round out. I'm curious, Beth, ours are probably similar because we often watch it at the same time. But I think it's episode one, actually.
Me too, because we started with episode one, and we watched it in theaters, and we watched it more with the Blu-ray.
Certainly since we've started this podcast, it's been episode one.
Yeah.
Because it was the first one we saw on the Blu-ray, and we haven't progressed further since. But then, of course, the 3D release came out, and then I think I've seen it once before that while we were still doing that for a commentary that we've done. And then, of course, the commentaries we've done before. So I'll take this opportunity to remind listeners, those of you still tuned in to our little podcast here, we are going to be doing sometime in May, hasn't been finalized, we'll be doing a live commentary of a Star Wars film, probably Attack of the Clones, what I'm leaning towards now, because it's the 10th anniversary, and so that's what I'm...
All I know is when we do this, we got to plan it right, because I was just going to say, I have one thing out there that I still haven't done, and that is watch the saga on Blu-ray. I now have the Blu-ray player. I now have the TV. I have the HDMI cables. I'm good to go, but I can't find any place to rent the dang movies, and I have yet to set aside enough money to buy them, which I will do, I promise you, but yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it on the Blu-ray.
Yeah, beautiful.
All the other movies I've seen on Blu-ray, I have just boggled my mind and blown my mind. I've heard all these great things about the sounds of the saga, the original trilogy especially, things that you didn't even know were going on. So I am really looking forward to watching that on that. And man, if we can sync it up and, you know, have that as my first time when we do a commentary, that'd be just awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be... Well, it'll be off the Blu-ray almost certainly, and we'll do it live. We'll see if we can get a video set up here in the studio. It'll probably be towards the end of May, and I haven't decided whether it should be weekdays or weekend. We'll have to make this. It's probably be a weekday at this point, if I just had to guess. Stay tuned to the Star Wars Report. We'll do that. But we're not letting you off yet, Jason. I've got one final question before we wrap this up. What is a specific thing... from Star Wars that you've learned that you've applied to your life now? What is something that Star Wars has taught you that's helped shape you as a person?
Oh, wow.
I know we're getting deep here.
Yes, deep. You know, it might be a little cliche, but I would have to go to, no, do, or do not. There is no try.
Yeah.
And I mean that in all, you know, sincerity, because, you know, Yoda comes and he's our, you know, our spiritual guide throughout, you know, The Empire Strikes Back, and he's the wise old man that we always learn everything from. But it was something that, as a young kid, that clicked with me, and I was like, oh, I really should be just doing and not trying, because trying is setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
You know, trying gives you that out to, you know, say, oh, well, I tried. But no, you have to do. Do or do not. There is no try. And that's something that I learned from Star Wars.
Sure, yeah. Well, it's the thing, because at that very moment, that's a great lesson. And it's not that... I've heard people actually make sense and say, why is that quote so important? I mean, it's silly, because, I mean, that you people try to do things all the time and fail. But it's not about that. It's about your mindset. It's about how you approach things in life, where if you go forward with self-confidence saying, I can do this, that's the biggest step to overcome something that you're worried about. So whether it's your college work, whether it's getting your pilot's license and flying in a 780-pound glider, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, that's a great way to approach things in life. Do or do not. There is no try. Wow, that's great. That's a good moment. I couldn't have chosen better myself, Jason. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode. We really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. love to come back on anytime.
Sure, sure. Yeah, we'll have to have you and Carl on at some point. We'll get you guys on for this commentary. We'll have to like maybe split it up and have you guests on for different portions of the movie or something. So that way, you know, 12 people won't all be in, but that would be a lot of fun to do.
As long as I'm there for the arena battle, that's fine.
You may be booked. Yay, you're the first to speak, so hey, we may just have to book you there. That would be cool. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Episode 41 of the Star Wars Report is in the can. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Really appreciate your listening ears, as always. Sticking the old Star Wars Report in your ear holes, so to speak, every week. That sounded much more gross than I meant it to. That didn't come out quite right.
I'm giving you this
Bethany
look.
Gave me the weirdest look right there. All right. But yeah, if you want to contact us, email us. That's StarWarsReport@gmail.com. A great way to, but probably the best way, really, to contact us is to find us on Facebook, where we're posting little funny pictures every day, updates on the show and our plans, thoughts and musings on Star Wars. Is a great community of people growing there on our Facebook page. Just got to 501 likes, the 501st number. That's really awesome. Thank you, everybody. And that's against facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Same thing with Twitter. We're at Star Wars Report, tweeting there every day. All the latest Star Wars news, commentary, thoughts, fun times like that. I'm on Twitter. I'm at the Riley Guy. And Mark, I think you are on the Twitter.
And Logical Rogue 2, tweeting every day, all day, over the way.
Yeah, tweeting away with the new smartphone. I like it. Yeah, always updates on the adorable baby Jaina over at the Perlman family. You can find on the old Twitter. Bethany, you're on there as well.
Yes, I am at ALN1.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and once again, two rainbows and three biscuits with awesome sauce for those who guess the title there. All right. And I believe, and what's the best way for people to contact you, Jason?
Well, I could probably be reached best at Wampa's Lair on Twitter, and then Wampa's Lair Podcast on Facebook. I check those regularly, so check us out there, and hope to have more of you listening to the Wampa's Lair.
Yeah, tune in. You heard it here first. Tune in. Well, not first, but you did hear it here. So I'm going to do it. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.